Okay, welcome to Parshat Tetzaveh, Toshin Ayin Tes, and also this is a special month. It's Adar, and it's not only Adar, but this year there's two Adars. So I saw that if Mishen Nichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, when Adar comes in, we increase our Simcha. So when we have two Adars, we double our Simcha. We double that increase in Simcha. I also saw it says Mishen Nichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. It should say Mishen Nichnas Adar Yesh Chiyuv L'Harbos B'Simcha. It's what does it mean Marbin Simcha? It's like Simcha increases. It's what did you say? You have a Chiyuv to increase your Simcha. It says by Av Mishen Nichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha. It should say Mishen Nichnas Av Yesh Chiyuv L'Mayit B'Simcha. Why does it say it like this? So I saw the pshat is that when a person's in a good mood, they become more expansive. You see somebody, they look happy, they look joyous, they look freilich, their arms stretch out, they run. So it says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin, we become bigger with our simcha. Whereas Mishenichnas Av, when a person is sad, so they like shrivel up. So Mishenichnas Av, Matim the simcha, the person becomes, what's going on in the person? Person becomes bigger with simcha, or becomes smaller with a lack of simcha. Okay, just so we have a little bit, and Mirtz Hashem, if we have the end, we'll say something about the Megillah, and we'll begin, since we have some extra weeks, and Mirtz Hashem will continue with the Parsha to try and say something about the Megillah. So I'd like to share with you something today which is very unique. It's in a place where we don't normally go. And as we'll see, it's going to talk about, it's going to give a hekif. It's going to give a broad panorama of something that's going in this Parsha, which seems to be very simple. But it's really going to take us back to Noach, it's going to take us to the Chet HaEgel, it's going to take us everywhere, and it's going to bring us into the concept of Gilgal HaNeshamas. And Gilgal HaNeshamas loosely means something that's above our understanding, means that sometimes a neshama can move into another neshama in a subsequent door. So a person can be, let's say, it says Pinchas Eliyahu. Pinchas Eliyahu. So what does that mean? Does it mean, it can mean a number of things. It can mean Pinchas lived a very, very long time. He lived, hundreds and hundreds of years, changed his name to Eliyahu. It can mean that Pinchas Eliyahu, that Eliyahu was an inspiration, inspired from Pinchas. Or it can mean there was a Gilgal, that Pinchas Eliyahu means, it doesn't necessarily mean they were the same goof, but it means that they're the same neshama. And the truth is, we believe that there were 600,000 neshamas at Mount Tara. Where do those neshamas go? So his neshamas continue on in different people. And that's in general in a very simplified concept. But we're going to talk about today, and we're going to answer the question, I hope, is why. Why is it that there is such a concept of a Gilgal neshamas? So let's start the Sedra. And if you can, look in the Chumash, because it'll be very helpful when we look at a couple of things. V'ata and you, Tetzave, as B'nai Yisrael, command the Jewish people, v'yikwe lecha, and take to you shemen zayizot, olive oil, pure, kosses, beaten, lamor, for light, lalas neratomid, that it should be a neratomid, there should always be an eternal light burning. If you take a look in any shul, so this thing called the neratomid, that they have on top in front of the aron, there's usually most shuls, including here, there's a neratomid, there's a little light. LED is probably helping this a lot now, because when you used to have candles, I'm sure they spent their whole time changing candles. It says, Lahalas Neratomid. I remember when I was a Bacher in Eretz Yisrael, I went to visit I think it was called the Diaspora Yeshiva, which was in the old city, and I remember being in a someone's room, a dorm room, and they didn't have electricity. So he had like a 2-liter soda bottle, and on top of it was like some giant candle. I remember the whole side of the soda bottle had wax all along the side. It was like coated in it because that was their illumination. So that, but here we always have a Ner Tumen. If I cared, it was a nace in the base of English. So we have the Ner Tumen, and we continue on. So in the Shvilei Pinchas has a beautiful mimer that takes us and gives a scope of understanding that is behind, the, as we said, this parsha. So he starts out by bringing a medrash. The medrash says like this. I'll read it. V'ata tetzav, it says in our pasuk, ata tetzav. Zel shamar akosav, that's the pasuk from Shir HaShirim. What's the pasuk saying in Shir HaShirim? Hine yafich rayasi, how beautiful you are, my beloved. Hine yafich einayich yoinim, your eyes are dove-like in their beauty. What does that mean? Amar Lama Kosh Baruch Hashem said to them, Dugma Shalcha Daimel Yaina. You call yourselves Nimshal to a Yaina, right? We always talk about a Yaina. Yaina Matzah by Nayach, we sing the Zmiris and Shabbos, beautiful Zmiris. So we always talk about call yourselves a Yaina. Yaina Matzah by Nayach. Yaina, meaning call yourself Fama Nayach. Where do we find it? An allusion, of course, to which Yaina, the Yaina in Parshas Nayach, right? Yatzabat Manayach. Where do you find it on Shabbos? Ketzad, how does that, how's, what does that mean? Kishayin Noyach, when it says, when Noyach was in the Teva, Kishayin Noyach the Teva, Ksiv Shem, it says, Vayishlach es ha'ayrev, Vayatza yatza v'shayv, the ayrev went up, V'achach sholach es ha'yayna, then he sent out the yayna. V'tavei lov ha'yayna, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ma ha'yayna heviya ayrev la'aylam, just like this Yaina brought light to the world. How did he bring light to the world? Because he showed Nayef that the Mabel was over. And if the Mabel is over, you can come out of the darkness of the Tev and you can come into the light of the world. So Afatem, you too cloud yourself. Shim Shaltim Ki Yaina, you're like the Yaina. So Hevius Shem and Zayas, you should bring Shem and Zayas. Vidlikul of Funai, as a Nair, you should light the Nair. Shinerev Atatatsab Yikhe Lecha Shem. So if you take a look all the way back in Parshas Noach, so Noach was going out of the Teva. He wanted to know what to do. So he wanted to know if it had stopped or not. And it says he took the Yaina, Vayachal Oiv Shivas Yamim, Acherim, Vayayisiv Sholach Yaina. He sends out the Yaina in the Teva. He sends out for the Yona, the dove from the Teva. Vatovi Lov HaYaina Leiser. If it comes back, but how does it come back? It says something very interesting. What does it come back? It comes with a leaf. What type of leaf? Alizayas. Vine alizayas torah befiha. Vayeda noya ki kalu hamay mi'al haaretz. So when he came back, he didn't come back just like that by himself. He came back with some olive oil. He came back with olive, with an olive leaf. So the olive leaf symbolizes olive oil. And therefore, since Klal Yisrael is like the dove, and Hashem, the dove, brought the Ali Zayis. So also we, in the time when we come to light the menorah, we hark back to the time of Nayach, and therefore we light with this Ali Zayis. And that's another medrash she brings. Shem and Zayis Zok Kusas Lamar. What do we say? Which type of oil do you use? Shem and Zayis. Another medrash. Lama lo Shem and Agayis. Why don't we use nut oil? Like Shem and Snainis. It's funny, by Pesach, like you learn all the different types of oil that there are. They have, what are some of the oils that they have, like different types of oil that are not, you don't see a whole year. Grapeseed oil, right? Grapeseed oil. Cottonseed oil. Nuts. Right. Nutmeg, nut oil. All these things. So the Gemara asks, the Medrash asks, Lamalei Shemin Agayza. Why don't we bring Shemin Agayza? Well, Shemin Snainais. Velei Shemin Dog. Why not fish oil? Why only olive oil? Why is olive oil special? So Oshar Shemanim El Shemin Shel Zayis Visha Zayis Simin Orle Oilam. We bring the Shemin Dafka of Zayis because it's a simin of light to the world. And the question is why? So question number one we're going to try and deal with. So we see beautiful Medrash. Let's set it up. The Medrash tells us that why do we bring olive oil, or why do we bring to light the menorah? Because olive oil represents the dove. And Klal Yisrael is like a dove. And therefore, since the dove brought back Shemin, brought back the Ali Zayas, so to remember that beautiful story, we light oil, dafka olive oil. We don't light the fish oil or other types of oil. Right? Maybe the better oil. But we light olive oil because it tells and reminds us of the dove. Why is that so important? Why is it so important at this juncture that we should remember dafka olive oil? Maybe we should, why is this so important? Okay, now we go on to the second half of setting up the question, and then we'll come to Mirz Hashem to the answer. So the first thing we said is that there's a medrash that says that why do we use olive oil in the Mishkan, And the answer is because the Yaina brought to Noach olive, a branch, olive leaf, and Yona, and the Yona is representative of the Klal Yisrael, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Einayach Yainim, your eyes are like Yainim, and therefore we use olive oil for the shemen of the menorah. We don't use other type of oil. Okay. Hold this on the side. We're now going to go to a different question that is asked, and we're going to have a different understanding, and then we'll come back to oil and Yirtzeh Hashem in a little while. So hold on to our thoughts about olive oil. Now, let's learn a second part of something that happened, a distressing episode that's going to happen in next week's Sedra. Next week's Sedra, Parshas Kisisa, is going to deal with the Chet Egel. So what happens, but there's a denouement at the end of the Chet Egel, that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, helps Klal Yisrael get out of the Chet Egel. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Take a look at page 260, and it says like this. Vayashem Moshe al Hashem vayomer, ona chata amazeh, chata gedoyla, v'yatam elekezov, v'ata, and now, elekezov, v'ata imtisa, pasuk lamed beis, imtisa chatasim, if you'll forgive their sins, fine. V'imayin, if you don't forgive their sins, I want to be erased from the sefer that you wrote. I'm the one that's going to sin against me. That's the one I'll cut out from my sefer. You didn't sin against me. I'm not cutting you out. Okay? And so on. And we go on to what happens to the eagle. So there's a famous Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim notes that there's something different about Parshas Ata Tetzave than all other Parshas in the Torah up until this point. And that is, as we know, the question is that in all Parshas, since Moshe Rabbeinu was introduced to us, it takes a star role in every Parsha. So Parsha start, right? It's always Moshe, Moshe, Moshe. And what happens when we come to our Parsha? No Moshe. Ata Tetzave. Isn't that strange? No Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Baal HaTurim says, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why wasn't he in this part? Listen to Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says, Tim sebechol ha-sedorim asher v'tayra mishenoylet Moshe ad Mishnah Torah, from in Matayin of the birth of Moshe till Mishnah Torah, shun nizke milvad, he's always mentioned b'zad ha-zeh seder, except for Tetzaveh. V'temu, I don't understand it. So v'shamad v'di Rabdon Ashkenazi, said the Baal HaTurim, I heard from the famous Rabdon Ashkenazi, l'fi shemaysh omer lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mecheni al-mechilas egel, mecheni menom yisifrach asher kasavta, v'omer chazal, what did Hashem tell him? Don't worry about it, I only wipe out for my sake for those who sinned against me, didn't sin against me. But chazal say, the kilos chacham afil achin tanayiba, that when a chacham says something, it's what we call kishkaga shiyatsmi pi asholot. Like when the king sends something, you know, that's it, done. So the Chacham said it. So Hashem says, okay, Moshe said, erase me, you're safe, I got to do something, I can't ignore it. The Tzaddik said it. I'm going to do something. What am I going to do? And Chayischa, I mean, I'm safer, Asher Kasavti, climb me safer, V'ata Tetzave. I'm going to take you out of this parasha, Lifnei Kisisa, in front of Kisisa. Vizui aklala shasa raishan, that's a klala that Moshe said. Shall nikrish shmai, shall kakla nisker Moshe. So we don't mention Moshe. Why? What do you do wrong? Because the klala of a chacham. So the Mefarshim have a big problem with this. Mefarshim can't understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu was a heroic figure. He was fighting for the Jewish people. Right? They why Hashem says, I'm going to destroy them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, don't destroy them. Please, I beg you, I'm so much, take me out if you're going to do this. I don't even want to be part of it. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? He was trying his best. So why would Hashem take him out of Parshat Tetzaveh when what he did was a good thing? Furthermore, two other very interesting questions. Why did Hashem say, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people over this? Hashem says, it's Rachman. Hashem should have said, they have to be punished. We're going to, you know, they should all get Malkus, the face. I don't know, do something strong. But why does Hashem say, destroy them? Is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's the Derech of the Rebbeinu Shem say, destroy them? And also, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say, wipe me out from the Sefer? Do you know that later on, in a similar episode, by the Mesayinim, Moshe Rabbeinu said the same first words, "Vimkacha ata Isa," and if you're going to do this, what did he say? "Harageini naharag," kill me. So why over there did he say kill me? And why over here did he say wipe me out from your sefer? But you never thought of these questions. I didn't. It's gewaltig. First of all, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that. I didn't wipe them out. That's it. I mean, Chas v'Shalom, what's going on? And we're going to see something probably beautiful. And why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Mecheni na mesefercha"? Boom. Say, kill me. What's this wipe me out of the sefer? What does that mean, wipe me out of the sefer? So listen, so now we're going to get to the answer. Now we're going to begin this. This is magnificent. So here we're going to start going deep into a little bit of Kabbalah here. So we're going to start with Chassam Sefer. So Chassam Sefer, this is incredible. Chassam Sefer is going into Kabbalah. The Chassam Sefer says that it starts out with V'ata Tetzaveh. Says the Chassam Sefer, Shayim Moshe Rabbeinu. But before I say, I'll just say one thing. Isn't it interesting that Noach keeps popping up in this parsha? Like, Vikim Noach. You know, that's like the old joke of the rabbi who only had one speech. You know, the old speech, he only had a speech on Noach. So no matter if it was raining, he would say, "Oh, it's raining, it's a mabul, it's like Noach. Oh, that reminds me about Noach. Let me say something about Noach." And if it was nice out, he'd say, "Oh, it's beautiful out. Look at what nice weather." You know, sometimes it can rain. It can be a mabul like Noach. Oh, that reminds me of Noach. So he's always back to Noach. So here we find all these midrashim, and all these midrashim are going back to Noach. So what's it got to do with Noach? Vikim Noach Harayin, Parashat Tetzaveh. He's back in Bereishis. So listen to what the Chassam Sefer says. Unbelievable. It says, Shayim Moshe Rabbeinu Gilgal Nishmas Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of the Neshama of Noach. That means some of the Neshama of Noach was in Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of that Neshama of Noach. Shayim Gilgal Nishmas Sheis. And Noach was a Gilgal from Sheis. V'hainu Noach Sheis V'ata. So he says, if you take a look at the end of the last parsha, what's the last word of the parsha? Of the last parsha, take a look in page 239. Last word. What's the last word? Nechayshes. Nechayshes stands for Noach, Sheis, and V'ata is Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, you have this Gilgal, this things are going on in the world where there's a Gilgal and the Sham is going on. Gilgal, the word Gal, you know, the Gal is a wave of the sea and it continues coming and it continues coming. So a Gilgal is something that was there, continues coming. It comes back. And the Shammah that was in Noach is back now in Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see a remnant of that. Furthermore, what do we say we should light the menorah with? With Shemen. Shemen stands for Sheis, Moshe, Noach. So you have again that together of the, this is Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer says you put them together, all of them to go together. So ask the Chassam Sefer, Tzarech Iyun, my time of Ram Zahacha, v'lo b'makam acher. Belay this Moshe Rabbeinu. Why, if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Noach, and we want to show these Gilgal of Noach, why would we meramez it here? Why do we note it here in our Parsha? We should have gone back to the beginning to talk about Noach. Talk about the beginning, when he was born, that he's part of Noach. What's going on? This is like, it's perplexing. We need the Maran Nevuchim here. Asher Leisa, so he says pshats like this. He gives it, he says, here's the pshat. And here's where Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Noach. And here's where Vata Betzaveh comes to Noach. And here's where olive oil comes to Noach and to Moshe. It's all going to be beautiful. Mavel Arayim. You'll be glad you came today. So, I'm glad I saw it. So he says like this. He says, Tanevei B'Shmael, Afal Noach Nechta Gezar Din. Really, Noach was also supposed to be killed. Noach was supposed to be part of the Mabul. He was supposed to drown the Mabul. Why was he saved? El Shenoach Matzachem Be'eni Hashem. Noach found favor. Shenemer Nichamti Ki Asisa V'Noach Matzachem. What was there about him that he did not do right? What did Noach do that he should have been part of the Mabul? So I think we're all familiar with that. Oh, Noach was a Chassam Sefer. Noach was a consummate tzaddik. He had a flaw. He didn't venture out of his own Dalet Amos. And the Prima Gadim said Noach sought seclusion with Hashem. He did not venture out to rebuke the people of his generation, teach them the proper way to live and behave. And furthermore, the Zohar says he didn't daven for them. So we know that in a sense, Noach had certain flaws. He was a tzaddik. Torah says he's a tzaddik. But he had a flaw that he wasn't doing as much as he could do. As a matter of fact, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Ki mei noyach zois li. These are the water of noyach. Asher nishbati mavor mei noyach oid. I'm not going to do mei noyach oid. So the question is, why say the word mei noyach? Why? What did Noach do? He didn't bring the flood. It wasn't his fault. But it's called on his name because he didn't try and stop it. He didn't try and daven for it. And therefore, he was shuldig. Okay. So now we set up, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Parashat Tetzaveh, but it's a remez in Parashat Tetzaveh. Moshe Rabbeinu is part of Noach, and Noach did a chet. So now the Arizal is going to put it all together in one paragraph and explain everything that's going on. And this is from the Arizal. And I'm always misspoke because the reason I lived to the age of, I think, 33. And everything that we have, so much of what we do, Mishnah Berurah is full of all our hagas, the Alpi Arizal. It's just, it's mind-boggling. Okay, says the Arizal, Mecheni no, da ki noyach hayu bechinas Moshe. He was in the bechin of Moshe. He was Moshe 1.0. Noyach. Moshe was 2.0. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said Mecheni no misifrecha, what did he mean to say? The letters of Mecheni, if you take them apart, spell Mei Noach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was doing tshuva for what Noach had not done. As part of Noach, he had failed in his mission to daven on behalf of the Jewish people, to daven on behalf of those days, not the Jewish people, to daven on behalf of the world and to rebuke them. And now Moshe Rabbeinu felt it was his mission in life in order to overcome what had happened, and he is going to do what you have to do in order to be misaken that. We'll see later it says Moshe spent his whole life in tefillah on this. Ki hu garam lechein nikra shmai. It was called on his name. And what do we know? We all know from when we're kids. How many years did it take Noach to build the Teva? 120. You ever thought about why 120? Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120. And because Noach was in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived another 120 years. That was the schus of Moshe that the 120 years he built the teva. It was in Bikol Mug, the schus of Nitlam Kufchav Shan Kiminish Ne Moshe. Vizel Bishagam Ubasar. That's what it says. Vayom Meyav Esrim Shanim. That's what it says. That he's flesh. He lives 120 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. So the Mabel was pushed off 120 years in the schus of Moshe. And Moshe was trying to daven to overcome what he did. To destroy like the destruction of the Mabel. And Moshe Rabbeinu daved of his whole life al hador. So listen to this. The Mabel wiped everybody out, and one person survived, Noach. And it came up in Mayim. So when they came to Mitzrayim, so there was Mayim also. Where did the Jewish babies, what were they doing? They're throwing them into the water. Whereas in the time of the Mabul, so what happened? Everybody died. In the time of Mitzrayim, those who were not Roy died, but most people, because of the Tsaris of the Golas, were able to survive the second Mabul that would have faced them. They would have been white, and some people did die in that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu a test. And this is now we understand beautifully what happened by the eagle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, you know, I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to wipe them all out. He was giving you a test. Because what happened the last time he said, I'm going to wipe them all out? What did Noach do? Noach said, can you find me a teva? How am I going to save myself and my family? What happens? So Hashem says, I'm giving you another chance. So the first time I asked you, you didn't answer me properly. You said you didn't say, what are you doing? Now I'm giving you a chance. I'm saying I'm going to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu answered magnificently. You can't do it. I don't want to have any part of this. So he was misaken all the things that Noach had done. And now Moshe Rabbeinu, with this Mecheni no Mesifrecha, Moshe was able to rectify that which had happened before by Noach. So we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a chelik of Noach. So that's exactly what happened over here. Moshe Rabbeinu was a zakenet. He says, af al Noach nechtig zardin el shen matzah chen b'ene Hashem. Why did he find chen b'ene Hashem? Because Hashem said, I'm going to give you, I know who you are. I know really you've got it within you to daven for Klal Yisrael. And I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm not going to destroy you with them. And therefore, the chen that he found, Noach matzah chen, of course the word chen is also Isis Noach. He found chen in Hashem's eyes, and therefore Hashem gave him a second chance when he said by the eagle, I'm going to destroy them. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he say? He didn't say kill me, he said wipe me out. I don't want him to do that. Why did he say those words, mecheni? Because the words mecheni spelled mei noach, because he was referring to fixing up that which had gone on in the first generation. So we have all these things, mamish, come together. And that's what we said, noach, shemen, is shes, Maisha Noach. And Nechayshes is Noach, Sheis, Viata is Maisha, and they all come together. So we beautifully have everything now, part two of setting up to answer our question of where does it all come, the olive oil to Noach, and why are we going back? So number one, we said that it's an allusion to the Noach's, to the dove of Noach, to the Yaina, who came back daf with an olive zayis, came back with an olive branch, and didn't come back with anything else. Right, he didn't come back with fish oil pills or whatever it is. He didn't come back with nut oil or safflower oil. He came back with olive oil because that's special. Why is olive oil special? What is there about olive oil? So listen to this. There's a medrash that says, there's a gemara that says, the gemara in Horius, David Gemara in Beis. The gemara says, like, Amar B'yachin, Kishem Shazayas Mishkach Limud Shal Shivim Shana, just like an olive causes you to forget 70 years of your learning, Kach shemen zayis, olive oil, meshiv, libud shal shivim shana, helps you remember your learning for 70 years. Now, if you want to talk about cryptic statements, that's a cryptic statement. What is he talking about? Olives and olive oil? What's the difference between olive and olive oil? Why does olive make you forget and olive oil make you remember? We say in our in Eishes Chayil, Pia Pasa B'chachma, Saris Chesed al Lashoina. So the Gemara asks, famous Gemara, V'chiyesh, it says, her mouth opens with Chachma, and the Torah of Chesed is on her mouth. Torah's Chesed. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, Torah's Chesed? What's it mean, Chesed and Torah's Chesed? V'chiyesh Torah shal Chesed, yesh Torah she'enet shal Chesed. So the Gemara is puzzled. What does it mean, Torah's Chesed? Why does the Pasuk say, why does Shlomo Melech say Torah's Chesed? And for the Gemara, so he says like the Torah lamda, Torah to teach others, zu Torah shel chesed, that's a Torah of chesed. Shloilu lamda, not to teach others, zui Torah she'enah shel chesed, that's Torah she'enah shel chesed, that's not chesed. If a person bottles the Torah up in himself and keeps it to himself and doesn't give it to others, that's not a Torah of chesed. The Gemara says, kol hamaneh halacha mipi talmid, ki l'gayzlo minachas avaysev. Somebody doesn't teach a Talmud, it's like he's stealing it. So if you sit and learn a Dvar Torah, you're sitting before the Shabbos Suda, and you're taking out, or you see in one of the beautiful papers, they have Divrei Torah, Baruch Hashem, you read a Gvaltik Dvar Torah, and you don't tell it over to the other people at the table, so you stole it from them. Because you had a Dvar Torah, and they didn't have it. So you took it away from them. So therefore, Torah, in order to be what Hashem wants from our Torah, is to give it to other people. And this is the remez, excuse me, of the olive. An olive has oil inside of it, beautiful oil inside of it, but it's bottled up and no one can enjoy it. If you crush it and you take out the oil, it can spread out to other people as well. Sir Bjeichen was telling us, if you treat the Torah like an olive and you keep it inside and all that delicious juice that's inside you keep for yourself, that's not the right way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is to take the olive, crush it, and get it out as much as you can. Zayazach, shemen zayazach. And when you get it out, that's where the Torah is supposed to be. So this is the remez now. Now we come back finally to Parshas Atah Tetzav at the beginning. We're making a menorah. And the Gemara says, Haraitzu Shiachim Yadrim. Somebody who wants Torah should go to the south. That's where the menorah is. Because the menorah represents the light of Torah. The menorah represents giving it not from yourself, but spreading it with everybody else. Everybody should have the Torah. Do you know how the windows were in the Beis Hamikdash? Interesting windows. Normal windows is you want to have equal outside and inside. In the Beis Hamikdash, the windows were larger on the outside and small on the inside. Because you didn't need their light inside. The light was going outward. So it was like a funnel. It started in the menorah and it spread out to the whole world. So you didn't need a big window inside, you need a big window outside. So the windows got bigger as they went outside. So the menorah's job was to give light to the world. The menorah's job is to teach Torah to the world, to give it to everybody. And whose job was that? Moshe Rabbeinu's job. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the Alei Zayis, the Fiv, the Yainah came to Noach, and he said, Noach, you got to change the way you do business. Until now, you were like the Zayis, you were like the olive. It was inside of you. Now we're going to take the olive and I'm bringing it to you, so you should use it and you should bring Torah and the Zayis and you should use it to bring olive oil, to bring it to the whole world. And it says, Taki, afterwards, there's a message that says the Noach came out of the Teva and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you do this? All the people, why did you kill them all? And the Medrash says, Noach, you know, you're supposed to be better late than ever, but this is a little bit late. So the purpose of the oil was in order to spread that. So that's why we don't have, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, in this parsha. Because when we teach Torah, we have to give it from ourselves. We have to vatal who we are. We have to be able to say, as if I don't exist, my job is to give you the Torah, not to have it for me. If I keep it in me, I didn't do my job. My job is to give it to you. And therefore, when we talk about the Shem Zayach, whose purpose is to give Torah, we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe, is there to give it to others. And that is his job. And that's why we have in Parshas Atta Tetzava. So we have all these beautiful Ramazim that we have of Yichu Elecha. Now we have, take for you, Shemen Zayizok, pure oil. Because that oil is going to give it to the world, causes, and it should be beaten in order to get as much of it out as you can to the whole world, and give there lasos, lalos, nertomen. Okay, we have 2-3 minutes. Let me just say one other thing we were talking about that I saw, and I wanted to bring a machshava that I had. And that is, we talk in the Megillah, so it says, Vashasiya Kados, forgive me for segueing so fast, but it's late. Vashasi kados ain ones. The drinking was no ones. Ki kein yisna hamelech al kol rabeis lasuk etzayin ish v'ish. And then the drink gave out. How did they give it out? They gave it out ki yad hamelech. They gave it out like the yad of the melech. So we say the word that was given, ki yad hamelech, is an expression. When you give something with ravchus, when you give it with a lot, you give it out like a king gives it out. It's the Yad HaMelech. The king can give something out like nobody else can. He says, that's why we say, when we daven, we say Avinu Malkeinu. Why is Avinu Malkeinu? Say Malkeinu or Avinu. He says, Avinu, Hashem can do things that a father wants to do, but he can't always have the wherewithal. He doesn't have the money. A king, on the other hand, doesn't have necessarily the desire to do, but he's got all the money in the world. He can do whatever you want. So you say, Hashem Avinu Malkeinu, you're our Father who wants to do for us, and you're Malkeinu who is able to do for us. And therefore, everything that we do, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to please have in mind to treat us as a father would treat us, to look at what we need, and as a king would treat us to actually take care of it. So I just wanted to do more to it, but a little bit late, so we'll leave it at that. But we go back to what we said before, is we take a look at our parsha, and we see the olive oil, which means we want to spread the light of Torah, and that's really something that we hope that we should all do. Moshe Rabbeinu with Masakin, that chesaron of Noach, because he was part of Noach. So we talk about a Gilgal. Just wanted to make this point. When we talk about a Gilgal, there's a purpose in a Gilgal neshama. It's not just that this person came into that person, but the idea is that every time a person goes to this world, I think I went to a meeting yesterday, and after the meeting, I was beating myself up saying, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have said the other thing, right? If I have a Gilgal, I could have come back and done it right the second time. So sometimes you go through life, and you know, not everything goes perfectly. So Hashem gives you a Gilgal, a second chance. So Noach, who had within him Moshe, when it came out, Noach was a tzaddik, But there was a certain chesaron in that. So Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the chesaron. And that's why he said, Mecheni Noah, that he even had a remez to make Noach, and even in our parsha, to show us that I want to take care of and be misakin. And one of the ways of being misakin is by spreading my Torah to everybody. And the best way to spread Torah is to take yourself out of the equation and only think of what the Talmidim. It's not what you know, it's what the Talmidim No, that's really the ikkar, is that if you transmit it to the Talmidim, that is the ikkar. So we hope we should all be zayicha. Every one of us is a teacher in some way. We should all try and be not like the Zayas, but like the Shem and Zayas, and spread our Torah and share it with all others as the way we're supposed to.